Welcome back to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Woodworth. And if I can ask all our listeners, just first and foremost, before we get started, hop on ericcomedy.com or go to our Facebook page. There is an event that is coming up very soon, March 28th, for Quality Time Live. If you buy your tickets in advance, you can get them for 10 bucks, and you're going to get to see me and Jeremy and a little guy named Justin Schlegel from the 98 Rock Morning Show, as well as Joe Robinson, as we sit down and review and watch parts of Night of the Lepus, which... if you haven't heard of it, don't worry. We'll fill you in. It's about giant killer bunny rabbits. So get fucking ready for that. Buy your tickets. We have a great show lined up for you today. Stories from Magoobie's Joke House and some recent shows we've done. We also have some Joe Robinson corrections with a brand new song. Last thing, even if you don't get the live show tickets, look down on your player, drop us a 5-star ratings on the Apple Podcast, the Stitcher, or whatever platform you listen to us on. It costs you absolutely nothing and means the absolute world to us. So without further ado, get strapped in, turn that volume up to 11, and get ready for Highlander.
Hello, kiddies. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
Favorite Kardashian is David Warner when he interrogates Picard with the lights.
David Warner,
yeah, also known as the Force of Ultimate Darkness.
Force of Ultimate Darkness.
Yeah. Slugs. He created slugs. Yes. Can a slug operate machinery?
I guess so.
By the way, he was supposed to come to Chiller, and I missed him because I was poor.
You fucked up.
Yeah.
You fucked up.
Probably. Probably the top 10 of celebrities I'd still like to meet. Really wanted to meet, Leslie Nielsen, but my ride didn't give me the time.
Your ride didn't give you the time?
Yeah. I had to go to his kid's birthday party.
So he just left you got to meet Leslie Nielsen?
I was only like, well, maybe I could just be stranded here. You know, maybe I could take a train home.
Where was this ride at?
It was a Chiller.
Oh, it's up in New Jersey.
It was the 1 year before he died. So it was great.
Hey, man. Great ride. I'll take you to meet Leslie Nielsen next time.
Yeah. Where's his grave? Dig him up.
Hold your breath there, Larry.
Yeah. It's not too late. It's not too late to see Elvis. You just got to dig him up.
Let's do it, man. We can do this.
If it works for Kane from the movie RoboCop, it can work for me.
I think so. And you know what? It can work for all of us. Welcome back to the Quality Time Podcast. Boom. Solid pre-show stuff that we had there, Jer.
That's almost a show in itself.
That was it. I mean, I don't even think we need to do any more work.
Except
today.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, Jeremy, I'm sorry. Who's actually joining
us? It's me, Sean Connery, you dago bastard.
Well, look at you, you filthy trollop.
That makes me want to smack your wife.
I feel like he says the word trollop really well, you know?
Yeah. Or scallops.
Scallops. Can I have some? Please give me your finest scallops.
You filthy scallop.
You filthy scalloped.
I'm Spanish.
I'm Egyptian. We'll get into that later. Man, Jeremy, what a fucking... It's been a couple weeks since we got together, and we made it through Valentine's Day. Now we're here. I've had a bunch of shows. I got so much to share with you.
Quite a big celebrity has died. I think we haven't mentioned Terry Jones.
Terry Jones. I know, man. How are you dealing with the death of Terry Jones? For our listeners who don't know, Monty Python fame.
I don't think I was was brought to tears, but I did actually meet Neil Innes, who died almost 2 weeks before him.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it was great that I met him at Chiller and brought coconuts, and he had a good time with coconuts.
What other Monty Python people haven't you met that you want to meet before they die?
Pretty much all of them, but I have met Carol Cleveland, who is definitely one of the main Monty Pythons. She was pretty
the
nice.
Only girl, right?
Nice for a gilf, almost a G-gilf. So
have you met Eric Idle?
No, I've met none of them except...
Or John Cleese?
No. Just Neil Innes and Carol Cleveland, so...
And that's it. Mm-hmm.
I think there might be one more, I can't remember, but none of the top five. And of course, Graham Chapman's been dead for almost a decade or two now.
Unless we go dig his ass up, though.
So if anybody, the real Python fans, there's a sketch called The Archaeology Today, where John Cleese is actually in an archaeological site, and he's singing, but it's not John Cleese singing. It's actually voiced over by Terry Jones, and this is my ode to Terry Jones. So.
Today.
It was actually funnier hearing John Cleese with Terry Jones' voice over top of him singing. So, and of course, Carol Cleveland's with him. So,
gotta love some good Monty Python.
And Connie Booth made it into a couple episodes. They were actually married, I think, maybe during Monty Python or definitely during Fawlty Towers.
Oh, nice.
She's the second to John Cleese in Fawlty Towers. Not the real wife, but the hot chick, the white, blonde chick.
Did you see? I saw you shared that video, Jeremy, of the other Monty Python guy talking about Terry Jones's death and how he'll miss having a pint with him. And
you mean Michael Palin, yes.
Yeah.
That Monty Python guy, yes.
I mean, I don't know them all by... I know John Cleese and Eric Idle off the top of my head, and other ones I have to think about.
Well, you got to know Michael Palin.
Yeah, I mean, when I recognize him as a guy from Monty Python, but I don't know him by name. So I know he's Sarah Palin's, like, husband.
Yeah.
Other than that, I really don't know a whole lot about him.
Well, are you a fan of Brazil?
I've never watched Brazil, ever. I've heard good things about it, though.
Yes, it's definitely one of...
There's certain movies that when I say I haven't seen them, like, I know, I feel bad that I'm saying it to you. Like, do you understand? Like, I feel like I've slighted
it's
you
very,
in some way.
It's very heady. It's one of Gilliam's headiest, so...
So, yeah, I mean, I haven't watched it, but...
Definitely must see.
All right, I'll check it out sometime.
I think there's, like, four shitty versions of it because they wanted to change it. They didn't like the ending. The ending is very, very, very dark,
mm-hmm.
almost like Eraserhead. But they tried to make, like, happy versions of it for TV, and it's like, oh, it's just shit.
Oh, man.
So.
You know, well, R.I.P. R.I.P. Terry Jones, you know. I'm sure he's off somewhere, you know, fucking hanging out with Graham, and they're probably doing all the classic bits up there.
Yes, yeah.
All of them. What do you think like the comedy show in the afterlife is like? I mean, it'd be pretty good, right?
Well, it's kind of hard to do comedy when you're screaming in fire. So.
I mean, all right, the comedy room in hell, is it better than the one in heaven? Because there's like Richard Pryor's probably
well, the
now,
only person
right?
that actually makes it to heaven is Henny Youngman, so it's all just bad one-liners.
You just get Henny Youngman and yes. Tiny Tim. Those are the only two acts that you get in heaven.
This sucks. I want to go to hell.
Hell is so much funnier.
You make one irreverent God joke, bam, straight to hell.
Oh, I see here you see this fuck God bit you did back then. You, Mr. Woodworth, do you think that was funny back then?
I see you made a song with a lot of N-words in it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Welcome to hell. So.
We happen to like those here. So, yeah.
You didn't think that I'd be black, did you?
It's actually Morgan Freeman sitting there. Thought that was a cute song that you could do then, Jeremy.
That's why he looks so old, because he's God.
Welcome to white hell.
Although I did play Blackula back on the Electric Company in the 70s.
There you go. Jeremy, last night I had, I've had so many shows recently, but can
Sold
I tell
out.
You, last night, Justin P. Schlegel fucking put on a goddamn clinic and did something I've never seen a professional comedian in a room full of people do. He is sitting there before the show, and he's like, I got to legit take a shit. And he's like, and it's not ready, but it's going to happen in the next hour.
Couldn't do the shit before the show.
Couldn't force it out, but he's like, it's coming. It's something real bad's brewing. So with the wireless mic, he took the wireless mic into the bathroom and did a solid 7 minutes just while sitting on the shitter last night in a room full of people that paid to see him. I mean, I'll be honest with you, the crowd didn't love it. But I'll tell you, me and Rob Mayer and Shaw Gabbert were crying.
Wait a second, who opened? Crying.
I hosted. And
you hosted, nice.
I hosted, and then Shaw Gabbert hit the second spot, and then I and then Schlegs closed it out. And we had a guest that came in. Jeremy, fun thing about this guest is this kid named Reese Baker. Shout out Reese Baker. I believe he's a listener of the program. So he came. I got him on this show, okay, because he came to the new talent competition in Magoobies, and he did a really good job.
Is he related to Reese Witherspoon?
Yes, he's Reese Witherspoon.
Cool.
It's a weird thing about the Witherspoon family. The Reese is actually their first. That's their family name. So nice. they only changed their last. They're like Japanese, I think, or whatever. But no, this guy Reese Baker, Jeremy. He did comedy for the very first time at Magoobies New Talent Competition, got close to winning, but the reason he was there, he'd never done comedy before. He was playing fantasy football, and he was the worst one in their league, and their friends all decided that this is going to be his punishment, is to perform
comedy
in front of strangers. And he did it, and it wasn't bad. And because he got so close to winning, a lot of his friends called up to 98 Rock. So now he got a guest spot last night on Justin's show, and he did a fine job. I was very happy to see him do well.
Well, since I haven't done comedy in like 5 or 6 years now, I was glad to do my only joke that I have online to show it to Mom, where I just say the word cocksucking a lot. So
the word cocksucking.
She was like, "Well, that's great. That's great. You said
cocksucking
a lot.
Why are you trolling Mom? Be nice to that old lady."
You know
lady.
The backstory behind that.
It was just to get heat off me.
Yes, exactly.
So. Yeah, Mom said that she couldn't support me as a comedian because I guess she's afraid she's going to go to hell.
It's like Eric doesn't make irreverent, dirty comedy. I make irreverent, dirty comedy. So I don't know. I mean, you know, you make good abortion songs, so. If that isn't good, I don't know what is.
Yeah, I do make a good, a quality abortion song.
Damn
quality.
Right.
I also, Jeremy, I went to, I had Magoobies this weekend. We had two sold out shows. It was fucking nuts. Friday night, Jeremy, at Die Live and Productions, we have two sold out shows at Magoobies. So there's 700 people there coming up to see us, okay? Now, take you behind the scenes a little bit here. The owner, Magoobies, he loses two cooks call out, okay,
oh my
on a
gosh.
Packed night.
Wow.
And then another cook quits that same day.
Wow.
So that there is a single cook back there.
Out of four. Get the fuck out of here.
So the owner's back there trying to cook. I mean, I'm sure he knows how to cook. He probably does a great job.
Oh, yeah.
Supremely understaffed on the most busiest you can possibly be.
Don't you even
right?
try to get a waitress to start cooking too?
Jeremy, it was so mad that we were seated, like me and Tommy Simbanzo, we were seating people, to like helping them get their seats so we could get them in there faster, right?
Right.
So we could start the show because the show was already starting late. We started.
Is this Steve Unger?
Steve Unger, yes. We'll go with that. We'll go
I don't
that.
Know their names. Isn't both of them the Unger brothers?
It's one of the Ungers. Yes, he owns it. I wasn't going to name drop. Andrew is the main owner.
Andrew and Mike.
Andrew is really the owner. That's the only...
And then there's Johnny Boy.
He has
Johnny Boy Unger.
It's a family business. So... By the way, now
oh, wait,
that they're
whenever
so,
you're a celebrity, your brother has to be Kevin. So
Jeremy, they're supremely understaffed. They can't get the food fast. They can't cook the food fast enough to get it out to people. We're told to stretch the show. So we stretch the show out. We turn our 90-minute show into an extra half hour long for 2 hours, right? And people are having a great time. But meanwhile, the next show has showed up, Jeremy.
No,
they're waiting outside
and probably very cold.
And freezing cold. the next show, they had to wait 45 minutes before they could come in. 45 minutes. And then they get seated and they're not even eating. We didn't start the late show, which was supposed to start at like 9:30. We didn't start till 10:30.
How do you have...
It was a fucking madhouse.
Oh, that's right. Two didn't show up and one quit.
Yes.
Gosh, what a fuck fest.
So that was Friday night. Now, meanwhile, Jeremy, I do a lot of singing numbers. Well, we were down at the Bright Box Theater. We had two shows the week before, and that was on a Sunday afternoon. It was good. They sold out shows. We had a really fun time. I, at one part of the show, decided to scream so loud that I blew my voice out in the first show. And I mean, gone. I don't have a voice at all. In fact, I can barely talk now. Like, it's just come back enough where...
It sounds
like,
fine.
It sounds okay, but this isn't... Like, I have a higher timbre to my voice than this. This is there's a little bit more...
I know I notice a little rasp.
There's a little rasp, but I can't... It's hard for me to sing right now. So the next show... Jeremy, I sing a song in... the song Shallow in this, which is sung by Lady... I sing Lady Gaga's part.
Oh, yeah,
part.
Yeah, okay.
Jeremy, I can't fucking hit one note in the second show. Not one. So Tommy basically has to do the whole song, and we just resorted to basically having gay sex with each other, and this isn't a lie. We fucking started, like, just doing fake blowies, like, whatever we could do to get to laugh at this point, because I can't sing
blowies.
At all. And I got all the way up to this Thursday. I was like, all right, just conserve your voice. Let's see if you can get it back by Thursday night when I got to fucking sing again at the amp. Almost got it back, but still, I get to the part where it's like, I'm on the deep. It's fucking gone. My voice gets to the high part, and it's like, yep, it's not there. And Tommy steps in, fucking Tommy Simbazo, like a champ, fucking nails, bails me out again by sucking my dick on stage. So
So Tommy is supposed to do the Bradley Cooper part.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm Lady Gaga.
Or Chris Christopherson, whichever you
Lady, think. I'm Lady Gaga. Or Barbara Streisand,
yes.
If you would like. So that was my week of wild shows that I had. I still am recovering. I haven't recorded any new music just because I've been trying to save my voice. And I got to tell you, the music bug is up in me, Jer.
I was very proud of 98 Rock talking about your mullet this week and how you sported it for so long.
Oh, yeah. Jerry, we got, what's it called? Our song from last 2 weeks ago. I made it on the 98 Rock airwaves, too. The Erase My Search History. Jeremy, what would you sing if you were to try out for The Voice?
Probably like Camptown Races. Mm. Oh, no, you mean that song that I prepared for today and that's part of the joke, yeah.
What would you sing?
It's probably a song about how you need to make more songs.
Oh, okay. All right, well, let's give it a listen.
It's a song devoted to making more songs.
So this is Jeremy's tryout for The Voice. Okay.
Yeah.
Die. Nice, Jeremy.
I think it's very touching.
That's good. You're going to die. I mean, I've never heard a more true song you've ever done.
I think it'd be great to hear at my funeral.
I think we'll play it for you. I mean, we'll rock that motherfucker.
He has one last message for you guys.
There you go.
You're going to die soon, too.
Welcome. I'm warming up your seats here in hell.
Either that or maybe just Dark Side of the Moon. Maybe,
okay.
Maybe Echoes.
I like it. All right.
Okay, all of Echoes, Dark Side of the Moon.
And then you're going to
Shine On You, Crazy Diamond, Wish You Were Here, the entire album, and Animals, and The Wall, all played concurrently through the entire funeral wake.
That's your request?
Yeah.
All right. I'll tell you.
And Mother Heart Load Mother something.
And Weird Al's in 3D.
And Relics.
Just all of Pink Floyd's.
And maybe just like the song Bike 5 times in a row.
I'm gonna buy something for day. Got a hamster and call him Jared.
This isn't Pink Floyd. This is garbage.
This is crap.
Why don't you just play the division bell?
All right. Well, I think it's about time, Jeremy, for a couple of Joe Robinson's corrections.
Hey, Joe, you know it's time. Yeah, it's time for our Joe's corrections. Maybe you heard the wrong name. For the wrong day, 'cause we've all been drinking.
Correctives.
Nice. New song, Jeremy. You did that.
Corrections.
So we'll have to hear if Joe likes that one more than Hey Joe.
Joe Robinson's Corrections.
So, Jeremy, here are a couple of Joe Robinson's corrections.
50-yard line.
He also says, here's the Mount Rushmore, his Mount Rushmore of Marylanders, okay? A topic that came up in a recent episode. He goes, Mount Rushmore of Marylanders, Babe Ruth, Jim Henson, Edgar Allan Poe.
Henson was Maryland?
And John Wilkes Booth. He says, those are the top, those are the top Marylanders. So,
what about the keyboardist from The Cars?
Hey, man, you know,
nobody knows the name of.
I mean, clearly he belongs on the mound if you don't know who he is.
And the lead singer from Crack the Sky.
So. And then he goes, we couldn't remember the lead singer of AC/DC. Of course, that's Brian Johnson. Couldn't remember Brian Johnson.
Scott Bonham. What are you talking about?
No, the one I was talking about is definitely Brian Johnson.
Did you ever hear about how he got the job?
How?
That I think he was like passing a kidney stone live on stage and Scott Bonham's like, man, he is singing his ass off. He's like, serious, unbelievable pain on the stage.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm passing the kidney stone! something like that. Maybe he was like...
That's a good bit.
He was dying of some sort.
That's a good-ass bit.
Yeah.
He also mentions that Steve Buscemi from Billy Madison and We Said the Water Boy. So we fucked that up.
He's in every William Sadler film, so...
And then... you know what? I'll save a couple of Joe Robinson's corrections for the next one.
All right.
The next episode. So that's it for Joe Robinson's corrections.
Because he never corrects the second episode because he doesn't hear it.
Yeah. He does correct the second episode, but we sometimes overuse them. And then when we record the next episode, which is going to happen, you know, seconds after one's done recording, then I'm not going to have any fucking shit to share.
Do we tease the new Joe song on that one too?
Oh yeah, there will be a new Joe Robinson correction song.
We're doing
for that
new
one.
Joe correction new, songs.
All the hottest Joe content that you can handle.
And I hate to say, I like that one a little bit better.
It is good. I mean, listen, episode two, usually not as strong as episode one when we record one and two, but this is going to be a fucking banger.
Longer and stronger, and funnier, so bigger and uncut.
Here we are. Yes, yes.
Born to his own, the princes of the universe.
Here we belong. Jeremy, are we ready for tonight's fucking film spectacular? Highlander.
Yes.
Which starts off with this.
The dawn of time we came, moving silently down through the centuries, living many secret lives, struggling to reach the time of the gathering, when the few who remain will battle to the last. No one has ever known we were among you.
Or what they were doing. The children of Stoning.
Oh, shit. Now listen. Is there a better goddamn introduction song to a movie than this? Queen?
Actually made me want to watch the TV show, and then I'd turn it off.
Oh, I love the TV show. The TV show is better than this movie.
I would always watch the intro and then turn the channel.
That was it?
Yep.
Man, I love this fucking... I honestly, I'll say it. This is my favorite Queen song that exists.
Well, it's no Flash Gordon, but...
Flash! Ah! What about Flesh Gordon?
Well, that
it's
was
like a, it's about a fleshlight in the shape of a Flash Gordon.
That's a classic porno. But my favorite part of the song is the yeah. So,
bring on the girls.
It's no, not that... enough to have like at least one or two voices in the vocals when you have 100 voices at once.
Hey, I will say, if you ever listen to like the real, if you ever listen to the real Queen song, it sounds really awesome until it gets to like one part. Here it is. Save me to the future. So in the show, they usually cut it off or they'll re-loop like the old like,
right.
But the real song, it cuts into this part. Where
yes.
Fighting a tree. Got your word in my hand. I'm here for your love and I make my stand. We were born to be princes of the universe. No
matter. Okay, back to the cool part of the song.
No, this part isn't cool either. Like, people talk about you. People say you had your day. Man, that will go far. With a sword in hand held high. Ooh. Gotta get some dust. First time. Oh. I know that people talk about me. I hear it every day. Anyway, so yeah, it gets it doesn't sound as cool and sword fighty after like the midway part.
Would you say that it sounds kind of gay?
I don't know. No.
We're talking about Freddie Mercury. No. How dare us ever say that anything sounds gay from Queen?
Honestly, no, because gay people make better music than this. Like, this is a slight on gay people. Like, do you think Freddie Mercury revered this song? He's like, this is my best work, the one I did for the fucking Highlander movie.
You know.
The funniest part is, like, when it gets to the one part, and he's like, bring on the girls! Oh, sure, yeah, but I'm sure you did bring on a lot of girls right after that.
Well, he did go both ways, so.
Yeah, well, you know, so.
Oh, I was watching an interview with Graham Chapman that I'd never seen before.
Yeah.
And they were asking about him being gay, and he's like, well, I'd say I'm 70% gay.
I'd say I'm 70%.
Which to me is a hilarious answer, because it's like, look at some guy like Charlie Sheen, who is definitely gay,
mm-hmm.
who's definitely had a lot of man-on-man sex.
Wait a minute, Charlie Sheen is gay?
He's had a lot of gay sex, so I've heard.
Charlie Sheen?
Yes.
The tiger blood guy?
Yes, he has AIDS now.
Well, yeah, he has AIDS, but you know. But I always thought he was pure, I thought he was full hetero.
No.
What dudes has he banged?
I'm sure.
I feel like he's if he does, he's had to have banged, because he bangs like hot porn star women.
I think that he is coke party gay, where okay. he's at this at any coke party and it's like he'll have sex with pretty much anybody. But I think that he's only 30% gay.
Only 30%
because
you're gonna get
70% of the time he's banging chicks. So
like
and coke horse.
So do you think like where Well, if I was, let's say I did that, Jeremy, how many guys could I how many guys could I have sex with and it still be I'm still allowed at Christmas?
Well, that's the whole thing about a bisexual, is that you'll have sex with almost anybody. The question is when and with who. And you all just blame it on, you know, drugs and the booze.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all right.
I don't know for sure. I just know what I hear.
This is very much on brand for Highlander. So I like where your head's at. Let's get back to the Highlander rather than just talking about Freddie Mercury and gay sex. Which
and
is
more what, Elton John
this
and
is it.
Charlie Sheen.
I don't know if Charlie Sheen is gay. I need to follow up on it. I don't. And until I see it, I don't believe it. This movie opens up. First of all, The Highlander, this sparked multiple series of films. I think they have like six films from The Highlander. Highlander 2, which is The Quickening. Then there's a Highlander 3.
Highlander Goes to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Highlander Goes to College.
Then there's Highlander 2, The Search for Curly's Gold.
Highlander, The Final Frontier.
Yes. Highlander, The Wrath of Khan.
Highlander... Goonies Never Say Die.
And then Highlander 6, Electric Boogaloo.
Yes, which is by far the best dancing Highlander of all.
And I will let you know that the movies get progressively worse the further you get in. Although Highlander Endgame wasn't terrible, didn't hate it. I went and saw it in the theaters, but also not good. That combines the show Highlander, the series, is a 10 out of 10. Let me tell you. It is my favorite thing of the Highlander anything. But
best role with Roger Daltrey. So.
Yeah, Roger Daltrey plays an immortal in there. You know who else is like one of the early bad guys in the Highlander series, Jeremy? Is the guy from... what is it? Fine Young Cannibals. They said, "She drives me crazy." Ooh, ooh. That guy plays a bad guy in like season one for like a 2-episode arc.
Wow.
I think his name is Callus. He's like, "Callus, you must go." He's like, "Wow, look at you, McCloud." And, yeah, it's the guy from it's that guy who sings like no one else.
Just makes me want to wear a suit and jump around in white backgrounds.
Well, so. Listen, the guy who played the Highlander in the series is Adrian Paul, who was actually a real martial artist. And when he swung the sword around, it looked realistic. Unlike this weird Frenchman named Christopher Lambert, who is in this film, who plays a Scottish man, against a guy who's not a Scottish man in Sean Connery in this film, who has a much better Scottish accent, but is somehow Egyptian. It makes no sense.
Now, who would you prefer? Would you prefer Chris Lambert or Kurt Russell?
Oh, as the Highlander?
Yeah.
Kurt Russell, 100%. Why wouldn't I?
I don't know. He just seems too funny and lovable to be the Highlander. I actually kind of like Chris Lambert's version of it. I can't even see Kurt Russell doing it.
I just think Christopher Lambert, the guy who plays this, he sounds like... like Ren from Ren and Stimpy. Like, he's like,
"Yeah,
what's going on? You idiot, you must give me my sword, huh?"
It totally makes sense to me because he spent at least a century in France. So
okay, I mean, now we get it.
Yeah.
But we'll get more into that. So the movie, if you guys don't know how it works, you'll find out as it is. Basically, there's immortals in this world. You don't know why they exist, but they have to cut off each other's heads to gain their power, and they have a secret war kind of going on. In the underbelly of the gathering, which is happening in New York City.
And let's just remember that Leon is Sicilian, even though he sounds French in The Professional.
Exactly. So it opens up, and Jeremy, they're at Madison Square Garden, and there's a wrestling event, and I know you don't recognize who the wrestlers are, but it's some jobbers that are fighting the Fabulous Freebirds. And Jeremy, the Fabulous Freebirds, very famous tag team in WWE and WCW history. They actually invented the Freebird rule, which is when they had the tag team champions, any two members of their like faction could defend the belt. So it's called the Freebird rules.
I thought the rule was you have to play Lynyrd Skynyrd during the match or something.
Well, Jeremy, something you might not know. I mean, they hired Queen to do the soundtrack for this.
Yeah.
But they could have had the Freebirds. The Fabulous Freebirds could have just done the soundtrack. I don't know if you've ever heard their music video, Jeremy.
This is going to be as good as the Super Bowl shuffle.
Dude, Jeremy. The Fabulous Freebirds did this little ditty. It's called Bad Street USA.
Oh,
okay,
gosh.
Check this out. Look. These are some talented dudes. great Michael Hayes on vocals right here.
I wear my sunglasses at night. Ah!
I mean, does it get any better than that, Jeremy?
I can tell somebody had a Rockman X100 back in the day.
Look at this guy playing right here. He's definitely weighs like 60 pounds overweight and looks like Super Mario.
Is that a Les Paul?
I think so.
Hell yeah.
It's a Gress Paul.
Hell yeah. Can I mention, obviously, you're like at least 500 centuries old, which means you would spend your time at a wrestling match. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
If it's
this
one
is
thing,
totally real.
I've seen all types of wars and combat over my years. And nothing gets my rocks harder than sitting and watching professional wrestling at Madison Square Garden.
I hate to say, my favorite ripoff of Highlander has to be Night Watch and Day Watch, which is the Russian version of Highlander, but it's done so much better. Oh my gosh. They bite off Highlander by like totally, but so much better cinematography.
You and the Night Watch. It's not a great film. I've tried to sit down to it. I mean, it's okay. And I don't even see how it's like Highlander. It's mostly like monsters.
Well, it is more vampire-esque, but at the same time, they're pretty much Highlanders, you know.
I think this was just your excuse to bring up that movie. That's it. I mean,
it's very similar. It's almost the same damn thing.
No, it's not.
Whatever.
This is Highlander, and it is a goddamn okay movie. Okay, I remember it. Watching it with a critical eye is hard for me, but I have very fond feelings of this film. So they pan around, and there's a pretty cool fucking shot, and you see the Highlander, who's played by why can't I remember his name? I've said it like three times already. Christopher Lambert.
Yeah.
They pan up to him, and he's immediately thrust back in time. So you can see this flashback to the Highlands of Scotland and this weird Frenchman trying to do an accent that I don't know if we're going to buy.
MacLeod. Fazil. Wait.
Oh, this is him. So he goes out into the parking lot and meets up with this guy, Fazil. And they start fighting back and forth. He pulls his sword, he pulls his. They're going back and forth. This seemingly old man that he's fighting, though, can just do countless backflips. Like, he just does. It's actually kind of retarded to see. He's like, oh, I gotta go. Bip, 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 bip. It's like 15 backflips at one point. He eventually disarms them, and then Connor takes off his head, and we get to hear the quickening as the cars begin to rattle in the parking garage. Water begins to flow from the sprinkler systems. Lightning shoots all around him as he climaxes.
I just like to think that not only the quickening quickens you, but it also quickens old 70s cars.
Yeah, it fucks cars up, dude. It
makes them like rev high and windshields are smashing for no reason whatsoever. So
he
but
does.
Apparently Carol Ann isn't there. So
Carol Ann. When he takes off this guy Revkin's head, it like he cuts through and it actually cuts into like the giant concrete block that he's standing next to.
The one thing I do like is even though the head's gone, there's still like a spiritual head there that like reforms in like weird veiny kind of animation. So
there's some good, and it is very Poltergeist-esque, the some of the animations of like the quickening that comes out and the lightning that shoots into him and stuff like that.
Should we give away the ending?
No. Let him experience it. Let him take him on the ride.
As if nobody's ever seen this movie before.
Please don't ruin the idea of the story of Highlander. Okay.
No CGI in this. It's all animation.
Yeah. So Connor runs off and he stashes his sword, which is like this badass katana sword that he was using. You know, this Highlander guy who uses a Japanese blade. He goes and snatches it above like one of the light fixtures and goes to run off. Now, next we're thrust into the past once again to the Highlands of Scotland.
In this year of our Lord 1536, bring victory to the Clan MacLeod.
Now, Jeremy, if you notice right here in that scene, you'll notice one of the guys is actually from the movie Braveheart.
Same exact character. Almost clothing, maybe. So
he might have just got it because he had the same stuff from this movie, so he could get into Braveheart later.
Probably the biggest Scottish actor other than Sean Connery. So
he's got to be up there. So, but he actually plays Seamus's dad in the, he's the crazy old man in fucking Braveheart. But here, he's a slightly less crazier and not as old man in this.
And I think it's Chris Malcolm.
Chris Malcolm.
No, that's the wrong actor. I didn't write down his name. That's another actor.
Okay, good.
We haven't gotten to yet.
Good talk.
Well, at least, where's Seamus, though? Where's his buddy where he throws stones at his face and everything?
Well, in the movie Braveheart, the actor that you're talking about, he plays Seamus's dad in that. Seamus's dad. Yeah. So, no, he's not in it.
So when does Highlander have to fight against the English to get what's his name's daughter?
Yeah, I don't know. They're clearly not fighting the English in this. It looks like it's just another Scottish clan that they're going up against. Probably Henry the Red's army. You like that? It's a good evil Army of Darkness reference I dropped on you there.
The other important thing is when he has to cut off one of the immortals' heads, he has to say the magic words: "Clatu Verata Nictu." So
you got two things right now: Jack and shit. Jack just left town, pal. So he kisses his girl goodbye and goes and heads off to battle. The MacLeods face a formidable foe. The opposing clan seems to have a warrior clad in black, donning a skull helmet, and that, we'll soon find out, is the motherfucking Kurgan.
Remember our agreement, Murdoch. The boy is mine.
It's begun!
And a little known fact, Jeremy. Hit artist Brandy, 90s singer.
Yeah.
She actually, when Clancy Brown, the guy who plays the Kurgan, says this line right here.
The boy is mine.
That's, she actually wrote her hit song, The Boy Is Mine. It's actually a Highlander song, you know?
Oh, I was also thinking of that song with Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson, where The Girl Is Mine, but he meant to base it off The Boy Is Mine.
Yeah, this is, she heard that. Oh, by the way, the Kurgan is played by Clancy Brown, who honestly steals every scene that he's in this. And then immediately they cut into this, Jeremy. Oh, I went too far.
I love the fact that she dresses up as the Kurgan in this video with the skull helmet and everything.
Yep, this is a little known. That's the big hit song that came out of this movie.
And the sword play that she does until she gets her head cut off in the video is great.
But I mean, The Kurgan looks fucking badass. I don't understand how he has such good cosplay in the 1500s. Like, this isn't a skull that you just find. He has a giant skull helmet that is clearly, I mean, there was crafting that went in to make this. You didn't find a beast that actually made this weird skull helmet around you, right? I mean, he looks, it's fucking tight. And his sword is so fucking badass. It's got like, it's like a giant broadsword, but it has like little spikes that come out where the hilt are. Ugh, it's so cool.
I hate to say it, kind of looks like a Stanley sword.
Like a Stanley?
Stanley brand.
Ah, kind of like Stanley Husky brand. Oh, so it's not a good brand.
It looks
brand
like it's
stored.
Bolted together. And how did he get it so that it would fit into a suitcase later
well,
on?
No,
so.
We're not at that part yet. Don't we'll shit on that when we get to that part. All right. So
or the other scene where the guy comes to the door, he's like, "Hey, buddy, you got a dead rat in there?"
Fuck you, asshole! I'm the Kurgan. Yes,
I'm Nancy Kurgan. So the clans collide, but Connor can't seem to fight anyone. Everyone is just avoiding him.
Fight me, damn you!
No, that's gonna be kill.
Fight me, you coward!
No,
fight me!
Nobody will fight me.
The owls are away.
Green lady, stay by me.
Whoa! Shit!
Mother of God!
The motherfucking Kurgan shows up. And what could be the most anticlimactic fight you'll ever see? He just gets off the horse and fucking impales Connor, like, right in, like, 1 second. And then Connor lays there dying, but all of his buddies come and the guy's back. He was like, oh, we gotta help Connor out! And they overpower the Kurgan. And Connor is left there bleeding to death.
You know who'd be really, really jealous during this scene?
Who's that?
Vlad the Impaler.
Vlad the Impaler.
Yeah, because Kurgan really knew how to impale people.
Oh, man. Wait till we get. He does some good impaling stuff. He's really good at not impaling people and not killing them. I don't know how he does it, actually.
When we get to the Chris Malcolm scene.
Mm-hmm. So, Connor lays there dying, thinking he's a dead man. Now, back in present day, the cops pull over Connor as he's trying to fucking escape, and they search him.
See some ID, pal. Well, Mr. Nash, where were you going in such a hurry? Give me it!
So, by the way, he assaults a police officer there because he's giving him lip and doesn't get killed, right? And then
he's what?
Don't even breathe.
What a great actor. The guy that they got for that bit part. You know, 10 out of 10
chops. I thought you were talking about Chris Lambert because all he does is skulk in every single scene when he looks at the camera.
Again, you're touching me. And I told you and my friend Stimpy that we never want to be touched like that.
Oh, gosh.
So they arrest him and book him, and we're thrust back into the Highlands of Scotland again. The MacLeods have returned from their campaign, suffering major losses. Connor is read his last rites.
It is over.
No! Other men are dying this day.
Dying?
I must attend them.
Quiet. He's a Highlander, by God. The last sound he hears shall not be that of a wailing woman.
Damn, women
I like
crying.
I like how hard like the Scottish guys go in this. He's like, shut up, bitch. The last thing he wants to hear is you crying. Like, that's how manly you are back in Scotland. They're like, oh, how dare she grieve for me?
Crying. Gosh, just because he's dying?
Now, back in present day, the forensics shows up to the scene, and we get to meet sweet Brenda.
Put the ivy of scotch back in his arm.
Yeah. The cops mentioned that somebody was killed recently in Jersey the exact same way. They find the other guy's sword, not Connor's sword.
Wait, who are these cops?
They're cops?
Would be one from Homicide, John Polito from written from Miller's Crossing and every pretty much Coen Brothers film. Mm-hmm. And the other would have been Alan North from Police Squad with the police squad files with Leslie Nielsen.
I never watched the Police Squad.
So it was he was the one before Drebin had the other guy, the guy from Cool Hand Luke instead as his partner.
All right. So the probably, Naked Gun from the, you mean from the Naked Gun?
Police Squad.
Police Squad
the TV,
was a show.
TV version okay. of Naked Gun.
Yeah, I never watched that.
It was like five episodes. One has William Shatner.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, he's only in the opening.
Okay.
Like for 2 seconds.
So,
starring William Shatner.
Yeah, so they have great bit parts for the police here. Yeah. All that would go on to star as police in further adaptations of the genre.
And probably only 2 or 3 years after Police Squad, so.
And I also like that they go to examine the bad guy's sword, and the lady knows immediately what it is.
What the hell have you got?
Have you ever been this happy? This is acting.
What the hell have you got?
A Toledo Salamanca.
A what?
A sword, Frank. A very rare sword.
Was it worth much?
Only about $1 million. Any antique dealer on Hudson Street could tell you that.
And it just so happens they've arrested an antique dealer in the form of Mr. Nash, also known as Connor McLeod.
Is this? It's a Greedo Sambuca. What's that? I don't know. I just made it up.
So they start questioning Nash back at the station.
Ever see this guy before, Nash? Name's Vasilek, Polish national. Had his head chopped off in New Jersey 2 nights ago. You ever get over to New Jersey, Nash?
Not if I can help it.
You talk funny, Nash. Where are you from?
Lots of different places.
You're an antique dealer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's that?
A sword?
Wise up, smartass.
It's a Toledo Salamanca.
It's a Toledo Salamanca broadsword worth about $1 million.
So?
So you want to hear a theory?
Mm-hmm.
You went down that garage to buy this sword from that guy. What's his name?
I don't know. You tell me.
Okay, his name is Amon Fazil, and you fought about...
By the way, why did he give up so... All right, I'll give up. You didn't fall for my trick right away. I like just the police work right there. It's very funny. He's like, I seem to have fooled you again, Captain.
The price and cut off his head.
Want to hear another theory? This Fazil was so upset about lousy wrestling tonight. He went down to the garage and in a fit of depression cut off his own head.
That's not funny, Walt.
You faggot, Nash?
Why, Garfield? You cruising for a piece of ass?
I'll tell you what happened, Russell.
Hey, actually, Lieutenant, I am a faggot. So
I miss the F word in movies, so I do.
Man, that's good. This and the Dire Straits, you know, this is some of the last vestiges that we got of the F word being used.
What do you think is more, what's the word, ironic in the movie? The fact that Christopher Lambert is supposed to be Scottish, but sounds very French?
Mm-hmm.
Or the fact that Queen sings about living as immortals? So. I'm just wondering. So.
You know, Jeremy, it's the question that I've asked myself over and over again.
Very,
and I don't want
to.
Maybe I just don't want to know the answer to it. You know? So he punches the cop, and a fight erupts there. And they don't have enough to hold him, even after he's assaulted a police officer. Keep that in mind. He's assaulted a cop twice in this movie. And we're like, we don't have enough to hold him.
Well, okay. He's a total badass.
So. Meanwhile, we get to see the Kurgan riding around, hearing the story of the severed head, and he goes to check into a local motel under the name Victor Krueger. I mean, is there a more badass name that you can go by as the Kurgan? You're like, I can't go. People might know me as the Kurgan, so I must change my name to... He's looking around, nightmare. Victor Krueger? I'm Victor Krueger.
I am now Bruce Bannister.
Bannister.
That guy will never be able to find me. I'm looking for a guy named Bruce Banner. Usually goes by Bruce, and then another name with B in it. Usually Bannister or Bonner or Banner, Bannerer.
Bannerer.
You know, it's stupid.
We get to see, Clancy Brown's character, the Kurgan, checks into his little hotel room. He's got a giant slash across his throat. And
I wonder if they'll ever explain that.
He takes his sword that he carries around like a goddamn pool cue in a case and then assembles it together and starts whipping it around the thing.
That's definitely an old sword.
Yeah, that's old. If you put it in a case, you know that's old.
At last, the gathering.
Did you ever see at least the trailer for the movie from the early 80s that was trying to be a bad Star Wars ripoff? The guy had a sword. Two other swords that shot out from the sword like a fucking gun at guys.
No, I haven't seen it. Is it a future Quality Time episode now?
I think so, just because the sword is so fucking stupid in the film, so... Oh, gosh.
Jeremy, I've done stupider things than this, so I'm not scared.
Not a two or a three-bladed, but nine! Nine-bladed sword!
A nine-bladed sword!
Even as a kid, I was thinking, like, wow, that's amazingly dumb. I mean, it's a sword with, like, two other swords that shoot off like fucking springs. Oh, my gosh. Anyway.
It sounds good. I want to watch it.
I forget the name of it. It's, like, Fire and Ice or something. So
okay.
I'll look it up.
So a local whore comes to the room to go provide her services for the Kurgan, and we get to hear this interaction.
I'm Candy.
Of course you are.
Yeah, pretty.
Now, Clancy Brown in this movie, better in this or Pet Sematary 2?
I'd say Shawshank Redemption.
Better in Shawshank. Yeah. He is really good in Shawshank, but I was hoping you'd just choose the better bank.
Hey, fuck stick.
Better open that door right now, Dufresne. You're going to be eating through a straw.
You're going to shut the fuck up right now, or I'm going to beat you so that you're going to be dead. So.
Next, we get to see Brenda is checking the fragments found at the scene, and they don't match the sword, the Salamanca sword that she was looking at. Nash goes back to collect his sword, narrowly missing detection from Brenda, who's there looking for this missing sword as well. Now, Brenda heads to the local bar. Connor sits down and walks, basically sits at like the end of the bar away from her. He asks about Madison Square Garden, and with the help of Queen playing in the background, some sparks start to fly between Brenda and Connor McLeod.
Madison Square Garden. Do you go there often?
Why?
Basketball? The circus? Wrestling?
Why are you asking me about the garden? Have you been following me?
I'd like to walk you home, Brenda.
I can take care of myself.
I just like to see them walk out of this bar with the Bud Light in the foreground and the background as they just walk out and out of blurred. This whole movie, I think half of this movie looks like a beer commercial.
It really does. He's like, with Budweiser beer, when it's poured down your gullet, you can feel it now.
I'm a Highlander, and I always prefer Bud Light.
Excuse me, ma'am. Would you like to have some of my Michelob Ultra Gold?
That's a beer that's going to last a long time.
Nothing will make you wetter than if I give you this.
Now, wait a second. Coors came out with Coors Light, and they had extra gold, but they've never come out with Coors Platinum, or as the Star Trek fans would say, Coors Gold Press Latinum.
There we go. I was waiting for it. I knew where you were going with it, and I listen, a Ferengi-based beer, I think, would do really well.
What would be your beer taste? Coors Extra Gold Press Platinum.
That would actually be really good.
With Rene Bergeron. I love it. It's the beer that you can't make in a replicator.
Hey, Jeremy, if you ever meet one guy who's cosplaying as a Ferengi, just have that can ready. And be like, hey, will you cut this for me real quick? And he's like, I need Coors Gold Press Platinum.
Oh, gosh.
That would be a good bit.
Yeah.
So,
the closest I got, Taylor Negron with a Budweiser doing the scene from River's Edge. I can't sell you this beer.
So she leaves, and then Connor, she leaves, Connor then leaves, but she's actually tailing Connor as he walks down the street. He dips behind a corner and grabs her, tells her to be quiet, woman, come on. When all of a sudden, the motherfucking Kurgan appears.
Be quiet.
Oh gosh, Jeremy, it's the Kurgan.
Last night was the Kurgan.
Hello, pretty.
No one can save you from the nightmare of the Kurgan. No one can save you from the nightmare of the Kurgan. Yeah, it's coming. I know where you're going. I'm gonna go in the plane. I'm gonna get in the plane. I'm gonna run. Okay, I know where to hide. I'm in the plane. I'm a mine. I'm a mine. I'm a mine. I'm a mine. Kurgan.
Do you have a strobe light?
I can get one. I can get you a strobe light.
Okay.
I don't have one.
All right. I definitely want to make a video of that.
Of the Kurgan?
Yes.
All right. Cool, cool. Yeah, that's my Kurgan drop chair. Did you like that?
It was amazing. And I love the lyrics of it.
I think there's like six lyrics total.
I love the lyrics, so. But it's awesome. Still better than Paradise City.
So they go and fight back and forth. Brenda actually has to help Connor actually get the Kurgan off him. The police actually end up showing up and kind of breaking up the fight from a chopper.
Please, put down your weapons. Put your hands on your head.
Another time, Highlander. I will find you.
Which, by the way, how are New York City spending resources on a chopper just to hunt down guys that are sword fighting? I want to understand that.
Hey, laddie! Put down the Kurgan sword and you can't have any meat unless you eat your pudding. Your pudding pots.
All right, I see where you got.
Sorry.
I also like how like perplexed that the cop, if you listen to like the cop's voice, they're like, hey, these guys aren't listening to us. What the hell? Like,
hey, hold it right there. Come back here.
Hey, come back here. What? What police are? I love the idea of the inept police. Like, hey, get back here! Hey, don't go away.
You know, police choppers really bother me because I always think that, what if you like jump off a tower and then jump into like a helicopter blade?
Yeah, like fucking the last Boy Scout.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
No, I was thinking more of like the Hannah Montana movie.
Yeah.
Where she jumps off the stage and.
That was my favorite. That was my favorite episode. Hey, it's just me being Hannah. Oh, God! I'm Parmesan cheese now.
It was a great ending to the movie, though.
So,
and the Olsen twins died of drugs.
Brenda runs after Connor to question him about what the fuck she just saw. You two guys just sword fighting out of nowhere.
Hey, who in the name of God was that? I called you Highlander. What did it mean? There can only be one. Only one what?
Listen, lady, you almost... I want to
know.
Shut up!
Damn.
Don't you ever follow me again. You only have one life. You value it. Go home.
You know, they claim to be all immortal, but it's like, you know, if you lose your head, you're gone too, dumbass.
Hey, what? I don't know how many times I have to tell you. I am a professional sword-fighting antique salesman. There is no more questions that need to be asked.
Nothing can kill me unless I eat one stick of butter, and I am as good as dead from the cholesterol and the fat.
So next we see Connor in the past once again. He's alive and well. He made it through his fucking deadly belly wound that he got, but the clan doesn't trust that he's alive. They believe that the devil's inside of him. So the clan unceremoniously exiles him from town almost instantly. He's being stoned along the way. And if you listen to the audio here, his girlfriend is like the biggest proponent for him. Like, get his ass! fucking hate him! Like,
it's... We know Bunning here today! We'll banish him!
No!
I just like his girl. No!
And the worst part, he didn't even have the chance to be put on the scale to see if he weighs the same as a duck.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're not scientific at all. What also floats on water? Bread, apples, very small rocks, cider, great gravy, churches. No. Lead.
Connor McLeod.
By the way,
is now...
lead floats on water. So
lead. So back in the present day, Connor is quite the high-end apartment in New York City. He has a very nice apartment.
Can you name the witch from Holy Grail?
No.
Connie Booth.
Good, good, good. Tight.
Let's just talk about Monty Python. Forget this movie.
I know. So. You can't stay on track. It's impossible for you. He lives.
Famous last words when John Cleese heard about Terry Jones' death. He says, "Oh, four to go." Gosh, what a harsh thing to say, but very true. So,
that
although I still count Carol Cleveland. So
I like a good harsh joke. Yeah. Like that.
He's allowed to because he's definitely going next.
So, rounding out this episode, well, let's just get a little bit further, Jeremy. You can have your break and we can talk about Monty Python off air. Okay? Deal?
Okay.
All right, fine.
Can I just quote as many lines as I can?
I
can quote the whole fucking movie.
I don't even know why I show prep.
I'm amazed I ever had sex with a woman.
It doesn't even matter. You know, you're just going to talk about Monty Python. We're not going to talk about the movie. It's fine. I'm cool with that now.
And they go to his Scottish castle.
Hey, what are they? I am French. Why do you think I have this outrageous accent? Excuse me, we must come in. We're in search of the Grail. Will you let us in your French establishment?
What are you doing in Scotland? Go away. Mind your own business.
Hey, I recognize a French accent from anywhere.
He says he doesn't need a Grail. He's already got one. I told him we already got one.
So now back at the station, Brenda finds out where Connor lives, likely to pay him a little bit of a visit. Connor is reading her book, and this lady who's a forensic scientist also has written the book on ancient sword making while he's sharpening a katana sword. I mean, this is the most manly thing that he could do. He's found out that his girlfriend loves swords and he has her book. Now, back in the past,
you could say he's honing in on her.
Yeah, he's honing in on her right now. He's honing in on her.
Sorry.
Back in the past, he makes a life for himself out in exile. He goes to a little stone, like, fucking tower that he just kind of lives in the middle of fucking Scotland somewhere. Sounds like he's some type of lord, or he's referred to as lord. And when all of a sudden he meets an odd fellow, he and his beautiful girl, Heather, meet a fellow named Ramirez, a Spanish man in Scotland, played by Sir Sean Connery.
Greetings. I am Juan Sanchez Villalobos Ramirez, chief metallurgist to King Charles V of Spain, and I'm at your service.
What do you want?
You. You're Connor McLeod.
Maybe I am.
You're Connor McLeod, wounded in battle and driven from your village of Glenfinnan 5 years ago.
Oh,
Connor!
Oh! Heather, go in the house.
I'll stay right here.
It was a say, woman.
Why don't you go ahead and smack her?
You're feeling is the quickening.
Who are you?
We are the same, McLeod. We are brothers!
Okay, so this bit barks up probably by, I think, the funniest parts of this movie is when this French Christopher Lambert is doing a bad Scottish accent, playing a Scotsman with Sean Connery, who is in fact Scottish, but playing a guy from Spain or actually Egypt. I don't even know. I don't even know right now.
I have two jokes here. My first is maybe if they questioned instead of the quickening, they called it the bonering.
The bonering.
And you always get a big boner when they're about to fight each other. And the other second thing is, I never noticed how when he enters into the scene, he's jumping over McCloud on his horse.
Yeah.
Which is exactly like Time Bandits, where Kevin's in his bed and a horse jumps over his bed before he goes into the different realm of time.
You're right. Similar shots. I didn't put that together, but yeah, that
time
is a
bandits,
similar thing.
A lot of midgets in that movie.
This movie has zero midgets in it. I don't like it.
Yeah.
It would have been better if it had more midgets, I would think.
Every movie needs more midgets.
So now, back in the past, Ramirez is basically becoming his master Yoda, right? He's the guy who's like, I'm also immortal, blah, blah, blah. And this is probably, I laugh so hard at this particular scene. This shit makes me laugh so fucking hard.
Help me, I'm drowning!
You can't drown, you fool! You're immortal!
I'm alive.
Damn it. No, I thought I had more of this clip. Hold on. Is that it? No, I have more of this clip. Hold on. I'm going to pull this up. Hold on.
Are you talking about where he's training?
I don't like water.
Okay, here it is.
I'm a man, not a fish.
You complain endlessly.
You look like a woman, you stupid haggis.
Haggis? What is haggis?
Sheep stomach stuffed with meat and barley.
And what do you do with it?
Sounds disgusting.
You eat it. How revolting.
The idea of him just being, wait a minute, what is haggis? In the best Scottish accent. He's like, it's lunch with meat and barley. And then he...
Be still, for God's sake. You'll tip us over.
So?
I cannot swim, you Spanish peacock.
I'm not Spanish, I'm Egyptian.
You said you were from Spain. You're a liar.
You have the manners of a goat, and you smell like a dung heap, and you have no knowledge whatsoever of your potential. Now, get out!
No!
So he tips him in there, and he says, you can breathe underwater, you fool. And the casting in this, Jeremy, just to say, oh yeah, we're gonna make a movie about Highlander. Oh, we'll get Sean Connery. We're gonna make him Egyptian. Just the idea of it.
I'm impressed. They only had Sean Connery for a week, and they paid him $1 million.
Yeah, and he nailed his part. He's a goddamn professional. That's why.
And even Sean Connery's like, you're not gonna do this in a week. And they made a bet that he could do all of his shots in a week. He probably worked like 16-hour days.
Yeah, probably. I would say so. So, after he tips him into the water, Connor can realize he could breathe underwater, and he's just not dying, so he takes a long walk back up to the rocks, and he tries to strike old Ramirez in the back of the head while he's sitting there.
Crude and slow, clansman, your attack was no better than that of a clumsy child.
So begins the training montage of,
This cannot be. It's the devil's work.
You cannot die, McCloud. Accept it.
I hate you.
Good. That is a perfect way to start.
Tell me, how did it happen, for God's sake?
Why does the sun come up? Or are the stars just pinholes in the curtain of night? Who knows? What I do know is that because you were born different, men will fear you, try to drive you away, like the people of your village.
This is wife again.
Why are oranges orange?
You must learn to conceal your special gift and harness your power. Until the time of the gathering.
And the bonering.
What gathering?
When only a few of us are left, we will feel an irresistible pull towards a faraway land. To fight for the prize. Never lose your temper. If your head comes away from your neck, it's over.
run on the beach together like Apollo Creed and Rocky.
Never overextend your thrust. You're vulnerable and off balance.
Connor.
Heather, please.
Heather, please. If it came down to just us two, would you take my hand?
I'll beat you, woman.
So they go on.
We must
training.
Fight until only one remains. You are safe only on holy ground. None of us will violate that law. It's tradition.
It's now, the Eye of the Highlander.
Shall we see what sort of swordsman you
By the way,
become?
Listen to him use his only Spanish word, which is bitch, right here.
Now, pendejo. Shall we see what
now,
sort of
pendejo.
Swordsman you
asshole.
Become?
Maybe it is asshole. So, Connor is able to best him in a fight, finally, after this short montage. There is one part
Give
I cut out
hand,
from this...
Brother.
There is one part of this I cut out. Yeah, for some reason, another power that you have as an immortal is that you can hear deer breathe, which is seems like he's like, reach out with your feelings. Do you feel him? I feel him, and they just run on the beach together like Apollo and Rocky. It's kind of beautiful.
Do you feel his giant erection?
And do you feel it?
Do you feel an erection of a giant stag deer?
So yeah, he gets all the basic rules. He understands that you lose your head, you die. That's the only way that people can really kill you, and you get the quickening after you kill somebody. That's pretty much it. Which feels like busting with lightning.
Wouldn't it be really great if they ever get Sean Connery on Jeopardy again, and he's dressed up as Ramirez?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I just came from the Highlander set.
I'm from England now. I'm from
Suck it, Trebek. I'm immortal. Gosh.
Oh,
damn it.
Good times. Good times, Jer. Thanks, all five. Well, Jeremy, I think that's going to bring us to the end of episode one for the Highlander series. You know, I was looking at it, I was like, this is going to take far too long to do in a single episode.
I can't wait till the next Joe's Correction.
Yo, man, we got a big show lined up next episode, so get your fucking mind right, get your grind right. Shit's about to get lit once again. But hey, guys, big shout out and announcement. It's super important. We've already sold some of the first tickets for Quality Time Live.
Uh-oh.
It's coming up. Buy your tickets now. You can go up on our Facebook page. We got the shit saved there. It'll be up on my website, ericcomedy.com. You can get all the ticks and shit that you need right there. Tickets are $10, Jeremy. Tell Jeremy what's going to be on this show. Who do we have coming?
We have...
Who are our special guests?
Mike Quinlan.
Okay.
Justin Schlegel.
Justin Schlegel, that's right. Yep.
From 98 Rock. And Joe Robinson from 98 Rock.
Boom. Two 98 Rockers. And listen, I pulled out all the stops for this fucking show. It's on an afternoon, Saturday, March 28th, at Unusual Company, which I'm wearing their shirt right now, currently.
There might even be a clown.
There's going to be a clown there. And what movie we're doing? Night of the Lepus. So if you want to, and you don't need to know about the movie Night of the Lepus, just show up. We're going to have a giant TV screen that shows clips and stuff like that as we riff our way through a movie. Joe Robinson's going to hate it. He's already fucking shitting on the idea of doing this movie. He's like, I mean, can't I just do a movie that anybody knows? What the fuck? Like, why are you guys choosing this? And Justin Schlegel's 100% on board. He's like, oh yeah, we're watching Night of the Lepus. You fucking bet your ass we're watching it. So it's going to be really exciting. Guys, so yeah, help us move some of these tickets. It's $10, 15 if you wait till the door day. And listen, the place only holds about 100 people, so get in there, get your tickets, let's sell this bitch out, and have Quality Time Live be the best Quality Time Live show we've ever done.
Oh, got it, yeah.
That's it?
I'm ready for that.
All right. So hop on that. Go on ericcomedy.com. That's Eric with a K, comedy with a C, for all things Eric and comedy. The second Saturday shit show is free every second Saturday of the month. That's hosted by former guest host here, Miss Kimberly Callahan, and Michael Quinlan, who will be a guest in about a week, in 2 weeks' time from now, if you're listening to this. So tune in for that. Jeremy has always got some shit going on. The Killer Clown meets the Candyman. You should check that shit out. Midgets Are Awesome is
Midgets Are Awesome is blowing up.
Do that. Jeremy, take us out.
Well, Barbara Walters, I believe it is good if you smack the shit out of a woman sometimes. I'm a misogynist.
Black Knight was a Kurgan.
Hello, pretty.
No one can save you from the nightmare of the Kurgan. No one can save you from the nightmare of the Kurgan. Yes, it's from it. Take away your brain. I'm not going to be the most enemy. I'm on the run. Okay, take your energy.
Kurgan.